this Gillette commercial, which everybody has been talking about, the hashtag MeToo ad on toxic masculinity gets praise and abuse. Backlash includes a call for a boycott of Procter & Gamble, complaining that the commercial emasculates men. So this is the latest in what is this, a bunch of, over the years, we've had some controversial commercials. And we're going to talk about those. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. And these were, I have the most controversial Super Bowl commercials from the past. And if you want to jump in with some of them, or you have thoughts on this Gillette commercial. Shaving company Gillette has been bombarded with both praise and abuse after launching an advertising campaign promoting a new kind of positive masculinity. Engaging with the Me Too movement, the company's new advertising campaign plays on its 30-year tagline, "The best a man can get," replacing it "the best men can be." The advertisement features news clips of reporting on the Me Too movement, as well as images showing sexism in films and boardrooms, and a violence between boys, with a voiceover saying, "Bullying, the Me Too movement against sexual harassment, toxic masculinity is that the best man can get." The film, called "We Believe the Best Men Can Be," immediately went viral with more than 4 million views on YouTube in 48 hours and has generated both lavish praise and angry criticism. "This commercial isn't anti-male, it's pro-humanity," wrote Bernice King, daughter of the late civil rights legend Martin Luther King, "and it demonstrates that character can step up and change conditions." The Emmy Award-winning actor and prominent Donald Trump supporter, James Woods, meanwhile, accused Gillette of, quote, "jumping on the Men Are Horrible campaign" and pledged to boycott its products. Far-right magazine The New American attacked the advertisement's message, saying it reflects many false suppositions, saying that men are the wilder sex, which accounts for their dangerousness, but also their dynamism. Duncan Fisher, head of policy and innovation for the Family Initiative, welcomed the company's revolutionary shift in messaging, said it played like a new narrative about positive masculinity. "There are a lot of men who want to step up for a different type of masculinity, and but for many, there has not been a way for men to express that. We just need to give them a voice. Obviously, this is an advert created by an agency to sell razors, but it represents an attempt to change the dialogue." Others remarked that the intensity of the backlash revealed the necessity for a wider acknowledgement of the damage done to men and women by toxic masculinity. Among the objections were that the video implied most men were sexual harassers and violent thugs, that it was virtue signaling by a company that doesn't care about the issue, and that the advertisement is emasculating. The film's YouTube page quickly became a cultural battleground, with negative responses outnumbering positive on the platform, which has faced criticism for not doing enough to curtail misogyny in its comments, and many commentators saying that they would never buy a Gillette razor again. It became sort of a, you know, obviously like anything on a, online, the comments became, you know, insulting, battling back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So anyway, I've seen the ad. Dan, have you seen it?
I have, yes.
Now, I don't, you know, I'm not sure. I don't, you know, I'm sort of mixed on it, because one, I don't know what it has to do with shaving. That's the thing. It's just, you know, I would just like to shave. That's you know, pretty much it. Two, though, I think the message is positive. I think it's presented in a way that might get a conversation going. So I don't fault it in terms of what it, you know, the ad attempts to do, because I think it wants to do good. Whether it achieves that is another story. Because I can see it being, I can see it. Some people, you know, thinking it's condescending, and I don't know. I mean, it's you know, the women who have had to put up with this kind of stuff in the past, I don't know if they want, like, a razor company to speak for, you know, to speak for them. I think, but again, I think the message is positive. Like, stop this kind of behavior early on. Stop doing it. Point it out. Talk about it. Again, I think the message of the commercial is positive. It's got nothing to do with shaving. I'm not sure what that's all about. I mean, Gillette commercial, I just want to know if I'm going to get a clean shave. I don't necessarily need some sort of lesson. But I think it's interesting, and it's certainly causing a controversy and a conversation, which I think could go both ways. I think it could be a good thing, and it might be a bad thing, but The conversation has started already, and I think that's a good thing. I just don't know what the hell it has to do with shaving. That's all. I don't know. So what do you think?
I mean, I understand your criticism. I thought it did what it was trying to do very well. I was, you know, after watching it, I was very happy with it because one of the interesting parts of the commercial, I thought, was that the very beginning where you saw the guys looking like kind of very worried. And that's how I felt at the beginning of all the Me Too movement and things like that. It's like, all right, well, what have I done? You know, and like, I'm considered a nice guy. You know, I don't do all the things that were eventually showcased in this film. But I've also been on the sidelines and seen them happen and not spoken up.
Yeah.
And so it's like, part of me is like, yeah, all right, we've got to change. You know, I understand your idea of like, well, what does this have to do with a shaving commercial? The thing that kind of waylaid that for me a little bit was the news that this is the start of a foundation they're creating to combat this type of thing. And so, you know, part of me is like, all right, it's still a company, and obviously they're trying to sell a product, and is this the best forum? But if it's a commercial more to, you know, say, hey, we're doing this non-for-profit, and this is our goal, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
If it ends up being a situation where they're like, we're doing this to sell shaves, I'll be furious because you're using good to do bad,
right?
In that sense, so I'm kind of holding that off for me, and I think that's what allowed me to get more pro into the commercial at this point.
Are they going to continue this? This is a campaign that's happening all through. I mean, this is, you know, this is, I mean, this is going to be on the Super Bowl, right?
Well, I didn't read that part, so I don't know. But and I don't know if this is the start of a commercial series, or if it's just like we're creating this foundation,
right,
this is what we're doing, and this is where we're going forward. So I don't know the advertising aspect of it in terms of that platform, but it sounds like from this organization they are investing in organizations that would kind of promote the things that they're promoting in there, you know, speaking up against bullying,
right,
speaking against toxic masculinity, speaking up in you know, workplace sexual harassment. So
Well, go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to add my two cents on this, and I'm certainly no expert on branding or business in general, but I've noticed more companies taking a stance on issues that are important to people.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies stay out of it altogether, and that's fine too, but some companies, like on the environment or you know, certain brands will take a stance for the environment, and that's their business to do that if they want to. And they do take a risk when they do that.
Right.
There's a risk involved.
Right, right.
But I think there's also a risk, and again, I'm not a business expert, but I think there's also a risk of staying on the sidelines too.
Yeah.
I think these companies probably spend a lot of time researching which way to go or whether they should say anything. But Gillette is taking a stance on this issue. They've done it. I don't think they need to do it again. I don't think they need to continue this as some sort of marketing ad campaign. They've done it. They've made a stance, and now they'll probably sit back and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like I said, you know, I'm not 100% with this commercial, but with this ad, but again, this is a conversation that a lot of people are having, and it's going to continue to have. And to get it out in the spotlight like that, and for a company like this to suggest to curtail this kind of behavior, especially in kids, and you know, and calling it out in the workplace and not standing on the sidelines, I think is a very positive thing. And if this is indeed, Dan, meant to not necessarily sell razors, but to open people's eyes to a nonprofit, you know, and to hopefully raise some money for that nonprofit for the situation, then that's fine. I just don't, you know, I was a little confused by the whole, you know, a Gillette commercial. I just want to know if, you know, how many blades.
Yeah,
how many blades,
absolutely. You know? And you know, if it's, you know, like Vic said, there are plenty of companies that do a lot of community work that they don't put commercials out for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have to question Gillette on that front.
Well, you know, and Dan, what about this? I know Patty had a handful of representatives on her show tonight. One of them said something that kind of plays into this conversation, and he said when he started in policymaking as a lawmaker early on in his career, another kind of mentor to him told him, do good things when you're in office. but let people know that you're doing them, because it doesn't do any good if you don't let them know. Mm. Well, that when you and he took that, he said he took that and he's kept that with him this whole time as he's been a representative in Illinois. But if you say that, and that makes sense to me. But if you say that for a lawmaker, a business, it could apply to a business as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's definitely a fine line, Vic, like between, hey, we want to get the word out, but what point does it cross the line from helping others to helping yourself?
And the other, to talk about this in terms of what's happening with Gillette right now, a small portion, the majority of comments were negative. So far, if the idea was to sell razors or to make the company look great, it's not working in terms of the majority of how people are reacting to this commercial.
Well, and I, you know, the other, the interesting meta thing is that, but that's social media.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's true.
You know, is it if the three of us were sitting down at a dinner table now and having this conversation, and we generally are positive,
yeah,
who represents the general public more? The people sitting down at a dinner table talking about it, or the guys on social media?
Well, and that's the other thing. Because you can be an anonymous and use it. I mean, we've said this a million times. If you're looking at something online or in social media, one, take it with a grain of salt, okay? Like a big, large grain of salt. And two, to never read the comments. You know what I mean? I never read comments on any articles, because I just feel bad for humanity. You know, and I read these comments and I see what people are writing and how they're reacting and the kind of things that they're saying. And I just think, what are we doing? What is this? What's happening? So I'll tell you what though. I mean, it started a conversation that I think is a conversation that people should be aware of and talk about more. So, but I'll tell you, this is something that people are going to be talking about for, I would imagine all day today on the station, people are going to be talking about it.
And so. I think that going forward, and not that Gillette started this, like I said, a lot of companies are doing this already.
Yeah.
I think it's the way things are going to move in that direction, with companies taking a stance on current events and issues, not current events, but issues,
yeah,
like this, social, that are important to people. I think that you'll see that more and more companies taking a stance on things, because I think it makes a difference to their potential customers, some of them.
I think you're right. And I also think just in general, especially the Me Too movement, the silence has been deafening for years.
Right.
For, you know what I mean? And you know, I mean, all these women who were afraid to come out and say anything, and all of these things that have been, all these horrible things that have been going on, never confronted, never, ever talked about, ever, ever, ever. And now suddenly it's on the, it's on the, tip of the tongue of a bunch of people. And it's now become a conversation.
With a hashtag.
And
changed
exactly.
Everything.
And yeah. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing, because it's all the painful silence and the trepidation and the non-conversations that were happening, concerning this topic. And now it's a topic that people are talking about. They're getting more comfortable taking a stand on it. They're getting more comfortable, coming out and talking about it. And I guess if Gillette can help that out, then that's a good thing. So, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, if you guys want to talk about this, that's cool. 312-981-7200. But I also have some of the most controversial Super Bowl commercials from the past, because this is not the first ad or a commercial that has caused controversy and people taking strong opinions and negatively and or positively, but more negatively. But these are real controversial Super Bowl commercials that from the past. And if you guys remember any of them or you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Back when TV theme songs told you the plot of the show, set the whole thing up. 773 area code wanted the Brady Bunch theme. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. All right, welcome back. We're here till 5 a.m. in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude. Weekday mornings, 1 to 5. And we were just talking about the Gillette commercial that's been in the news. And we got a couple of texts that came in. And then I've got most controversial Super Bowl commercials. You guys remember some controversial commercials from the past caused, a lot of attention, a lot of conversation, a lot of disagreements, and a lot of controversy, basically. Not unlike what we're talking about with this current Gillette ad. We would love to hear from you. Jump in here at any time you want. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. 7200. 224 area code says, anything that makes James Woods mad and gets the old man tied into knots is a good thing. You remember when James Woods was cool and sane? Remember that? You remember those days? Because I used to love James Woods, man. But now he's nuts now. I'm trying to figure out when exactly he lost his mind. I don't know, but that's pretty funny. Anybody, if it's making James Woods mad, then it's good. It's a good thing. That's from the 224 area code. Steve in Indian Park says, Nick, another radio show also brought up the point that the majority of the bad guys pictured in the beginning are Caucasian, while the good guys at the end are primarily ethnic. And I don't need politics brought into my grooming routine. We need to get away from this further division. Yeah, I didn't notice. I've only watched the thing once. I did not keep track of ethnicity within the men in the commercial. So I can't comment to that because I've just watched it the one time. But I do like the sentence. I don't need politics brought into my grooming routine. I think that's pretty funny. So it's funny. Scott Stantis, by the way, did a cartoon about this. And it was there's a guy with shaving cream on his face. He's holding a razor. He's looking in the mirror, and he looks just exhausted, like really exhausted. And it has all these like rules to being a better person listed, toxic masculinity, blah, blah, blah. And then in his balloon, it just says, I just want to shave. That's Scott Stantis' thing. It's just this really tired dude looking in the mirror with shaving cream on his face, just going, I just want to shave. So... okay, jump in here, everybody. 312-981-7200. We will jump into some of the most controversial past commercials that all of them kind of debuted at the Super Bowl. So controversial commercials, if you have any, 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. The news is up after this. Yeah. Therefore. Yeah, okay. Hey, Dan? It's not a Wednesday, is it? All right, Wild Card Wednesday continues. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? Any artist, any song, anything. Alan from North Carolina. Desiderata?
I believe so.
You are a child of the universe. Yeah. Thank you for that. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking about the Gillette commercial, which is causing a lot of controversy, a lot of conversation, and some people like the message, some people like the commercial, some people don't, and it's causing some controversy. So we've got some other controversial Super Bowl commercials that made their debut, and so you know this isn't I don't know if this is a controversy, but Dan, you remember the hey, this is your brain and this is your brain on drugs.
Sure.
That was a 80s thing, right? Wasn't that, didn't that sort of debut in the 80s?
Yeah, I believe so.
Was that part of the Just Say No thing that Nancy Reagan was doing? I just remember that it debuted in the 80s. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Launched in 1987. 87,
okay. Here's what was the one with... Rachel Lee Cook?
So it was actually a remake of that commercial.
But Rachel Lee Cook was in it, right?
Rachel Lee Cook was in it in 1997.
But she like smashed the egg into the, like, if I remember correctly, like she smashed the egg into the pan as opposed to like, because the original commercial was just like a close up of the surface of the pan.
Right.
And then the egg gets cracked into the pan and that's it. You don't see anybody do it. It's just a close up of the pan and then the egg.
Right.
Rachel Lee Cook like busted. I think she was like whipping pots and pans around.
Yeah. So in the 1997, she holds up an egg and says, "This is your brain." Before lifting up a frying pan with the words, "This is heroin." After which, she places the egg on the kitchen counter. This is something that happens to your brain after snorting heroin, and then she slams the pan down.
That's right. Yeah.
And then she keeps hitting the pan and says, "And this is what your body goes through."
Yeah, I remember that. Whatever happened to Rachel Lee Cook? Does anybody know whatever happened to her? Remember when she was like the next, you know, like right around that time when she was like the hot thing, and then she was like in the movie, she was in one of those movies where, you know, it's one of those movies where a girl is wearing glasses and she's not attractive, and then she takes the glasses off and suddenly she's attractive.
It looks like she's doing a lot of video game voice work.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as she's keeping busy, because I always liked her. I liked her in Josie and the Pussycats. But, yeah, I remember she was like, they were pushing. What was the name of it? She's All That? Was that the one that
she's
she was?
She's All That, was yeah. it? Yeah.
So.
The interesting counterpoint to that one, so the This Is Your Brain on Drugs was 87. The 90s one that I remember was the one that, like, was most talked about my friends was the father who confronts his son for doing marijuana, and he's just like, how did you find this? Where did you, you know? And he's like, I saw it by watching you, Dad.
Yeah.
I saw it by watching you.
I remember that one. See, but these are like, these aren't necessarily the kind of commercials that we're going in. These are like PSAs, you know, and just creatively trying to get people. Now, see, Dan, you're too young to have grown up with the After School Special. Because I grew up on the After School Specials. It was ABC After School Special, and if you took it, Dan, go to Wikipedia and look up some of the titles of the After School Specials, because they all, every one of them had a title and had to have a message that was specific to something that could go wrong, you know, in your life. You could go down a bad road of addiction, or you can go down and, you know, you can steal things and, but the After School Special, that was a big deal, man. We used to watch those. Man, I watched them anytime there was an After School Special. That was must see TV at that time. But they all had, you know, these great titles. You know, the tale of a runaway, you know, and there had to be a lesson in every single one of them, which is why they were on after school and they were, you know, directed towards kids to get some sort of message.
Yeah, we've got Which Mother Is Mine, The Late Great Me, Story of a Teenage Alcoholic,
right.
Where Do Teenagers Come From, A Family of Strangers, Stoned, My Mother Was Never a Kid, She Drinks a Little, The Unforgivable Secret, Daddy, I'm Their Mama Now, Sometimes I Don't Love My Mother.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes on. And, you know, do they have any cast people who would show up? Because it was always like people like Lance Kerwin were on a lot. Linda Pearl was in them a lot. I think Christy McNichol did a few.
Have You Ever Been Ashamed of Your Parents starred Jennifer Jason Leigh and Marion Ross.
That had to be like, that's pre-Fast Times. So she was just a teenager at that time then. And who was her mother?
Marion
Ross.
I don't know if it was her mother, but she was also in it.
But she was also in it, right. Yeah. Jennifer Jason Leigh. See, here's the thing about Jennifer Jason Leigh. She didn't take her own advice with the roles that she would take in because she played a lot of really screwed up people in there. So, but that's, you know, the message thing, you know, when you know, the after school special and then those PSAs, PSAs and stuff like that. So now, Dan, were there any commercials that you thought of that were controversial that you immediately thought of?
Yeah. You know, the GoDaddy string of Super Bowl commercials with Danica Patrick and things like that. And, you know, what controversy those created initially, and now it's interesting that they've kind of done a 180 and completely gone away from that and tried to, but just kind of, you know, the interesting contrast of Danica Patrick trying very hard to get into a male-dominated sport,
yeah,
and the surrounding hoopla around that and, you know, the cries of sexism and things like that, and then to have that also displayed with very purposely sexy commercials was always something I kind of was,
yeah,
kind of, yeah, it was a weird,
I think a lot of construct. People felt, I think a lot of people felt that way. And the other thing about those GoDaddy commercials with Danica Patrick is that they were, I think, one of the first few or sets of commercials that you were referred to the website. You know what I mean? Like they would set something up in the commercial and then they would want you to hit their website. And I think GoDaddy started that, or at least was one of the first companies to do that, where they're like, hey, listen, let's just do half of this commercial, and then that means they have to go to our website and give us a couple of hits on our website and see how many million hits we get during the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl, which, you know, was very slick in terms of what they were trying to accomplish with the ad. But, yeah, those were crazy. All right, well, here are some. Carl's Jr. All-Natural Commercial. Model Charlotte McKinney had heads turning, but not in a good way, when this commercial was released during the Super Bowl in 2015. People were upset by the sexism and lack of feminism from this fast food ad. Now, was that... Now, Carl's Jr., that's when they get, like, half-naked women to eat big burgers. And that was kind of their MO for a while. Like, they would, it was, I don't think it was just this one commercial. I don't think it was just the one commercial. I think Carl's Jr. kind of did that, but they did that a bunch of times. Didn't they? Wait a minute. Carl's Jr., didn't they do another one? Didn't they do one with Paris Hilton?
I want to say you're right. I do believe there was one with Paris Hilton.
And it's just like, you know, half naked hot chick eating a giant burger and like ketchup and you know, and grease running down their arm or all over their face. And I think the Charlotte McKinney one from the Super Bowl in 2015 might have been one of the first ones that where they did that, and that caused a lot of controversy. We've got some texts coming in. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We're talking about controversial Super Bowl commercials and because of the controversy and the conversations that have been caused by this Gillette ad. 312-981-7200. Dave says, everybody is talking about the commercial. Gillette's name is already out there, and now it's getting additional name recognition. 773 area code said, the commercial would have been more effective if each segment opened with a man shaving and then going out and doing something positive. For example, coaching a girl's or co-ed sports team. 708 area code says, Gillette is just doing it because it's a popular topic right now. 708 area code says, controversial commercials, the interracial Cheerios family. That's right here on the, that's next, right here. And here's, I'm trying to remember this ad. Do you remember this one, Dan?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
This adorable, family-friendly 2014 Super Bowl ad should not have been controversial, but many internet users were upset by the idea of an interracial family. Cue the eye roll. Cheerios vice president of marketing responded by saying, consumers have responded positively to our Cheerios ad. At Cheerios, we know there are all kinds of families, and we celebrate all of them. So people were complaining because it was an interracial family?
Yeah, what happens in the commercials, if I remember correctly, an African-American mom and daughter are sitting at the table, and they read the fact that Cheerios are good for the heart. And so what the daughter does is walk over to her sleeping dad, who's white, on the couch, and pours the Cheerios over his heart.
Oh, okay.
And so that's it. I mean, that was...
That's the whole commercial.
That was it. That was the commercial. And so it was... It did not... You know, it was just matter of fact, it wasn't brought up once, and it drew the ire of a lot of people.
Wow.
Which is why it was ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Kurt from Beloit says, the Bud Light commercial, the carriage ride with the horse flatulent. Oh, my God. You remember that one, Dan?
I do, yeah.
That was... I remember that year particularly... Because, you know, as you know, every year for the past 20 years that I've been doing a radio show, Super Bowl time, I do a bunch of segments about the commercials, because that's, you know, half the reason why a lot of people watch the Super Bowl, and so the commercials are always a topic. And I remember specifically that year with the horse farting and all that other stuff. That was if I remember correctly, all the commercials that were particularly lowbrow that year. There were lots of flatulence and body, you know, humor jokes and below the belt jokes and sort of like really bad innuendo. Really, I remember just sort of tasteless, tacky year, and that was just one of them. I think they didn't show it again. I think maybe they showed it a couple times during the Super Bowl, but they caught so much flack for it. I think they pulled that one from the air. Yeah, but I remember that year specifically being like, what's going on here? How many times are they going to do a fart joke in these commercials? Canadian Bill said Brute in 2012 had one of the sexiest commercials where the wife is getting ready in the bathroom. The husband puts on Brute. She comes out 9 months pregnant. She says, what did you do? It was the Let Your Man Out campaign. I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
God, I don't remember. I don't remember any of that. It was 2012. You know, I don't remember what happened yesterday. Were people upset about the commercial?
Yeah, and quick thing, sexist commercial as opposed to sexiest. So,
sexist.
Yeah, sexist commercial. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was just kind of obviously it was kind of like anytime you're dealing with those campaign, those perfume ads, it takes on a whole different dimension.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, I kind of enjoy the you know, cologne and perfume ads that make absolutely no sense. Those are I really like those that have the big stars in them that make no sense. Like the Charlize Theron, I don't know what scent it is that she does, but it's like, what? I don't understand what's happening here.
Right.
There's the one with Kristen Stewart, where she's like, you know, like going through these like strips of you know, strips of fabric that are wrapping around her body, and it's like slow motion running around. And the Natalie Portman one. What would you do for love?
Yeah, she's done a couple of those.
And Keira Knightley did a few of those where they make no sense. And Johnny Depp, where he's like burying something in the middle of the desert and there's like a buffalo.
Right.
And he's all dressed up in Johnny Depp, you know, scarves and stuff on his head and glasses, you know.
Right.
Looking like with a vest, looking like Johnny Depp burying something in the.
Yeah. Julia Roberts' abilities, the breakthrough walls.
Those aren't controversial. Those are just dumb. But for some reason, I like those ridiculous. I really like those ridiculous cologne and perfume commercials that make no sense. The Natalie Portman one kind of drives me nuts. What's the song that they use in that one? It's actually a pretty popular song that they use in that commercial. I don't know what it is, but it's like it's a song that I think was a big hit. A female artist sang it. And they use that in the video, and then, you know, at the very
It's the Sia song.
It's Sia, right? Yeah. So
Chandelier. Sia Chandelier.
Oh, it's Chandelier, right? Okay, yeah, Chandelier by Sia, which is interesting because in Vox Lux, Natalie Portman sings Sia songs in it. So they're like a connection between the two of them now. Wow. All right, let's take a break. We got more controversial commercials to talk about here. We were talking about the Gillette ad, which is causing a lot of controversy and a lot of conversation. I'm sure you guys have opinions on that, but also remembering some of the commercials from the past that caused some controversy. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We want to hear from you. All right, be back after this. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Any artist, any song, anything.
Yeah, man.
301 area code requesting Roger Ramjet. That's the opening theme from Roger Ramjet. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, we're talking about controversial commercials, many of which debuted during the Super Bowl when a bunch of... Have we heard, have there been any previews as to who's... taking out ads? I mean, obviously Budweiser. Don't they spend the most every year? Isn't it like Bud and Bud Light?
Yeah, typically they do.
So I would imagine that we're probably going to get a couple of new Dilly Dilly commercials.
That'd be good. Yeah, I wonder.
I would think.
Although this would be the third year, I think, that they've done them. So.
That they've done Dilly Dilly?
Yeah.
Is it?
Because the original one, and then they introduced the Bud Light Night. The second year.
Oh, right.
And so...
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting if they go for a third year.
The Dilly Dilly stuff is that's big right now.
Oh, I mean, it's lasted that long.
Yeah. And, you see all those commercials. You see those commercials. And if you watch any sporting event, Dan, how many Dilly Dilly? I mean, come on, man. It's crazy. So, I mean, you know, typically we'll get a rundown on the, when is this supposed, what, 3 weeks?
February 3rd.
February 3rd. Okay. So, we'll definitely, talk about the commercials before then. And then, that Monday morning after we review, the movies and stuff, we'll definitely jump into, recapping the Super Bowl and recapping the best and worst of the commercials. So that'll be coming up. But we're talking about controversial commercials from the past. If you want to jump in, which ones stand out for you? 312-981-7200. And which perfume commercials that don't make a lick of sense do you enjoy? You know when all that stuff started? Because perfume and cologne commercials are always the ones that make no sense. And you know when that started? That started with, like, Obsession, the Calvin Klein stuff, like in the 80s. With it, and oh god, they did a, you know, do you remember it was Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks did a brilliant takeoff on the Obsession commercials, because they were black and white and there was a man in like a black turtleneck and he's saying something, you know, and then she's got her inner thoughts and none of it made any sense, and it was like you don't know whether the stuff smells good, you don't even know what's going on. And I think that's the starting off point for what now continues to be a thing, where cologne and perfume commercials absolutely make no sense. And then on top of that, you know what else doesn't make any sense, but I love them? Of course, the McConaughey Lincoln commercials. Well, and there's a buffalo in one of his commercials too. You know, where the buffalo's in the middle of the road and he's like, all right, sometimes you got to go a different route, you know, and then he leaves. All right. Here's Harold on WGN. Go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, way back. How you doing? So way back in the '70s, I don't think the Super Bowl was big into the commercial. You know, the big commercial hype yet. But and I'm not sure if this commercial came out at Super Bowl time. But it was kind of controversial and a bit funny. It started out with some high heel shoes and some legs, and the camera was at a low angle. The person it was focused on was laying down on the ground, and it slowly panned to the calves, to the knees, to the thighs, to the waist, and then it went right up to Joe Namath's face.
Right, it was Joe Namath in the pantyhose commercial. Yeah, that's a classic commercial, and it was a big deal because, you know, Joe Namath was like, you know, like the most popular football player at that time. But yeah, I vividly remember that commercial. And I can't remember what it was for. I know it was for pantyhose, but I can't remember if it was for legs or what brand of pantyhose. But yeah, that's a good one, Harold. Joe Namath in the pantyhose. Yeah.
Hanes.
Okay. There you go. Good. Yeah, that was a big deal, Dan, when that happened. It was Joe Namath in a commercial with pantyhose. People were like, huh? All right, what about this one? Snickers kissing commercial. This has been considered one of the controversial Super Bowl commercials. Launched during the Super Bowl in 2007, this Snickers ad shows two men sharing the candy bar and accidentally kissing. After they begin to perform what they call manly tasks like drinking car fluid and ripping their hair off their chests, the Human Rights Campaign and the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation complained that the commercial was homophobic and it led to companies to stop showing it. I do remember that commercial. You remember that one, Dan?
Yep.
Yeah. And you remember the Snickers commercial with Mr. T? It was a Snickers commercial with Mr. T, and it was like a nuts, and people didn't like it because it was like a double entendre, you know. By they were using the word nuts, I if I'm not mistaken, and Mr. T was in it, and there was complaints, and I think that led to this.
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
That was what I think he was on. He was on the show to talk about the Snickers ad, and of course we came to this fact.
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
That's right. It's never personal, Dan. You know that.
Never.
He's been pitying fools for 28 years. He doesn't need that. But I remember that commercial, the Mr. T in a nuts commercial for Snickers, and it caused a little bit of a thing. And that the kissing commercial, the Snickers kissing commercial, I remember too, which was ridiculous. So, all right, which commercials caused some controversy? 312-981-7200. More after the news, which is next. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Jim requesting King Crimson with 21st Century Schizoid Man. Yeah, man! King Crimson. Welcome back, everybody. And how's it going? We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5. It's National Pizza Week. So we're going to jump back into some pizza conversation and some facts about pizza if you want to jump in on that. We also have some dessert conversation that we can talk about because, you know, after you have some pizza, you want to have some dessert. That goes along with National Pizza Week. But right now, we started talking about a little while ago. We talked about the Gillette commercial, which is making all kinds of controversy and conversations out there right now. And that got us to talking about some of the more controversial Super Bowl commercials from the past. And if you have any that you remember, 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you, talk or text. How about this? General Motors robot suicide commercial. Controversy arose after GM's 2007 Super Bowl commercial showed a line robot throw itself off a bridge in what ultimately looked like suicide. The commercial was changed after the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention said that the ad sent dangerous and insensitive messages. I don't remember. You remember that one, Dan?
I don't, but we had a caller who couldn't hang on, and he mentioned that one. Apparently, like, he was working, the robot was working in the factory, dropped something, it caused a big problem at the factory.
And, you know, oh, and then he left the factory.
Right.
Oh.
And then went to the bridge.
Right. Oh, okay. All right. I do remember that now. I do remember that one now. How about Skechers' Mr. Quigley commercial? When it aired in 2012, Skechers received a ton of backlash for supposedly supporting dog racing, which many deem cruel. More than 129,000 people signed a petition asking the company to change the commercial. I don't remember that one either. Do you remember that one, Dan? Dog racing commercial?
No, I don't remember that one.
From Skechers. All right, how about this? Daniel Defense's pro-gun commercial. Daniel Defense wanted to run this pro-gun commercial during the 2014 Super Bowl, but Fox was hesitant and denied, reportedly responding, "Unfortunately, we cannot accept your commercial in football/Super Bowl spots due to the rules of the NFL itself has set in place for your company's category." People were outraged by the ban. The NFL was likely trying to avoid controversy of being associated with a gun company, but ended up creating conflict anyways. Okay. So did it ever air? Not, it probably aired on maybe not on the Super Bowl, but it aired elsewhere probably.
I think so, yeah.
Tim Tebow's pro-life commercial is next. Tim Tebow might not have been here if it weren't for his decision that his mom made years ago. That's the message in this commercial paid for by a Christian group called Focused on Life, and despite the fact that nowhere in the ads are the word abortion or pro-life, people were seemingly upset by it, specifically a woman's group that called for the ad not to be aired. But CBS assured everyone that the script was reviewed for any issue-oriented messages and deemed appropriate for air. I remember that commercial. I definitely remember that one. Yeah. And of course, that's such a hot-button issue, you know, that of course it's going to cause controversy, you know, whether or not you air it or not, or, you know, and of course whether or not the words pro-life or abortion are used, it doesn't matter because it's such a hot button issue. So we got some more texts coming in here. 312-981-7200 if you want to join us. We're talking about controversial commercials. 301 area code says, I saw her recently in a Hallmark channel movie, Rachel Lee Cook, that is. Now Gillette is being mentioned all over the place now, so mission accomplished. Rachel Lee Cook is on the Hallmark commercial, or is on the Hallmark channel now doing movies. That seems about right, doesn't it? 630 area code. But by the way, Dan, how many Lifetime movies did you watch this?
We were a little slow this year. I think we only probably saw 5 or 6.
Did Eileen watch more than you did?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 1 or 2 more.
Yeah. What was the number of new ones? Was it like 63? They had something.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like 63 brand new holiday movies on Lifetime. And then Hallmark went nuts too. The 630 area code says, I remember back in the 80s, the three frogs that would say Budweiser. It was pretty funny for the first couple of years, and then all of a sudden families were having issues with it. Why would somebody have issues with the frogs? Just because it was annoying after a while? Is that why?
I think the only thing is, like, obviously kids could pick up on that. And so
it's a beer commercial.
Right. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's what I thought.
You know, I guess that makes sense. You know, kid-friendly beer commercial. I don't know. I thought they were funny. I was an adult. I thought the frogs were funny.
You know, the problem there is like, well, anything then, you know, the Dilly Dilly, the What's Up.
And, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Those are all said by people under 21.
Yeah. So 815 area code says, hey, Nick, remember High Karate? They played off the Bruce Lee celeb actor fame in the early 70s. High Karate. There's a scent. And I wonder, do they still make High Karate? Because that was definitely like a 60s and 70s men's cologne or aftershave, High Karate. What a fantastic, I mean, and the packaging was great. I thought High Karate was hilarious. My dad used to have High Karate. Used to have it in the bathroom medicine chest. Um, 312 area code says, the Kmart commercials, I shipped my pants. Oh, yeah. I remember. Of course, I find that amusing because I'm 9.
I remember that made Orion very angry.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to make Orion angry. That's like the last guy on the planet that you want angry with you is Orion Samuelson. He doesn't play around, man. Does not play around. Bonnie from Kenosha says, are you a figment of my imagination or am I one of yours? Obsession. That's also the opening line of, are you a figment of my imagination or am I one of yours? Is the opening line of Kris Kristofferson's opening song in A Star is Born. The song is called Watch Closely Now. Are you watching me now? I've seen that movie 9,000 times, and the soundtrack, I love the soundtrack. I've seen it 9,000 times because of my mom. It's one of my mom's favorite movies of all time. The Barbra Streisand, Kris Kristofferson version of A Star is Born. And I know that soundtrack by heart. And that's the first song in the movie when he comes out on stage. Am I a figment of imagination? Are you a figment of my imagination, or am I one of yours? Watch closely now. That's my Kris Kristofferson, by the way. Pretty good, huh?
I thought he walked in.
Yeah. 847 area code says, Jan Hooks was scrubbing the floor with that Obsession by Calvin Klein. But it wasn't called, it obviously wasn't called Obsession. The you know, for the fake SNL, you know, sketch that they did. The parody. But it was called something else. And I think it was Calvin Klein. Calvin Klein. Maybe it was Obsession, but it was Calvin Klein. That's what they changed. K-L-E-E-N instead of Klein. All right. 312-981-7200. Controversial commercials is what we're talking about here. How about Groupon's Brazilian wax commercial? Groupon honed in on the issue of deforestation of the Brazilian rainforest as a way to advertise for getting a Brazilian wax. Oh, my God. Yes, truly. The woman in the ad says, not all deforestation is bad. People weren't happy about using a real issue to bring in money for a company. Groupon founder Andrew Mason posted an apology and added, we took this approach knowing that, if anything, it would bring more funding and support to the highlighted causes. Really? Really? Groupon is on here again. The Tibet commercial. This is another ad from Groupon's campaign that takes a real-world issue to promote their coupons. The speaker says that Tibetan culture is in jeopardy. But hey, they still whip up an amazing fish curry. The entire ad series, which aired during the Super Bowl in 2011, left people dumbfounded. They were ultimately all pulled. We've listened to your feedback, and since we don't see the point in continuing to anger people, we're pulling the ads, said Andrew Mason, Groupon's founder. Andrew Mason was busy that year, huh? I guess I don't remember these either. Do you remember the Groupon ads?
I do remember the one about the curry.
The curry? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, that is... What is that? Pete Hoekstra's Spend It Not commercial. When he was running for U.S. Senate in 2012, Pete Hoekstra took an opportunity to run an ad during the Super Bowl. The only problem, it was incredibly racist. He claims his opponent Debbie Stabenow is making the national debt rise by helping China. Was it a one-time only? That had to be a one-time only, right?
And I wonder if it was one of those regional ones where, you know...
It was a Senate race, yeah. So, but it's still, I mean, if it's a regional one, that guy spent a lot of money, you know, for a political ad during the Super Bowl. You think we'll see a lot of local mayoral ads during the Super Bowl this year?
It'd be interesting.
Because there's only 75 candidates right now. It's 15, right? We have 15 candidates for mayor right now for Chicago. We're up to 15. All right. You know, Dan, after being inundated for almost a year with the midterm commercials, like, and then especially like in October all the way through to Election Day, just every other commercial was a political ad. I was like, whew, they're over. And then the mayoral ad started like literally a week after the midterms. Like a week after the midterms, I'm like, nah, come on, man. I was so sick of political ads. And then, of course, at this time of year, it's always fantastic because for three solid months, you get to see commercials for Christmas. And now, for four solid months, you get tax commercials. Like, every other commercial is for income tax services and stuff. Like TurboTax why am I blanking on the big one? H&R Block.
H&R Block.
Yeah. Yet every other commercial between now and April is going to be about taxes. So, all right. Well, let's take a break. And if you guys want to jump in, we're talking about commercials that caused controversy. Which ones do you remember? Which ones maybe made you nuts? 312-981-7200. And we'll come back with more after we break. It's a Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. It's wild. Oh. 312-981-7200. Canadian Bill requesting the Littlest Hobo theme song. The show was about a wonder dog?
Loner dog.
A loner dog.
Like a dog who liked to be alone.
Oh, okay. Who would go from town to town solving crimes and helping people. It was about a dog who solved crimes? Was it McGruff? What? All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We've been talking about commercials that caused controversy, and that spun off of the conversation that we had about the current Gillette ad, which is causing a lot of conversation and so on and so forth. So we're going back and remembering some of the other controversial commercials that debuted at the Super Bowl and elsewhere. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, let's see what's next here. Holiday Inn's Bob Johnson commercial. During the 1997 Super Bowl, Holiday Inn released an ad about remodeling their hotels, and it didn't sit well. In the commercial, a woman walks through her high school reunion until someone recognizes her as Bob Johnson, revealing that she is a transgender woman. The absurd punchline at the end was, imagine what Holiday Inns would look like if we spent billions. Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Because the 1997 Super Bowl, Dan, do you remember Celebrity Deathmatch?
Oh, sure.
If I'm not mistaken, the 1997 Super Bowl was when MTV, during halftime of the Super Bowl, showed a special episode of Celebrity Deathmatch. I think that was the 97, because I was over at my friend Matt O'Neill's place. He had a Super Bowl party, and we all watched the Celebrity Deathmatch. I can't remember who the celebrities were, because there have been so many episodes of it, but there was a... I think that was the counter programming to the Half Bowl. The Half Bowl? The halftime show at the Super Bowl. And it was a Celebrity Deathmatch. And I'm pretty sure that was the 1997. I don't remember this.
Yeah.
It was 98, so okay. I knew it was right. I knew it had to be around that area of time. Do you remember this Bob Johnson Holiday Inn commercial?
I do not.
I don't either. Let's see. More controversy from commercials. Coca-Cola with the America the Beautiful commercial. When the commercial aired in 2014 during the Super Bowl, Coca-Cola had meant for the message to be acceptance. Being one of the few global brands means inclusivity. That is important. And that's why the ad showed people from all around the world singing America the Beautiful in different languages. However, people were quick to hate tweet it, saying things like, "We speak English here, idiots." Time had the perfect response for the culturally insensitive tweets. We come to America, in other words, we become American, but we don't erase everything else that we were before. We don't forget our cultures and languages as if they never existed, and we don't hide them as if they're shameful or less than patriotic. Mm. I think I remember the commercial, but I don't remember it causing any controversy. Was that the same year, Dan, that Clint Eastwood did all those? Remember, was it the Ford commercials that Clint Eastwood did? It was a big series of them. It was just Clint going, "It's the third down, and we've got 10 yards to go, and we need American cars or whatever." It was just like Clint being grumpy old man. It might have been before 2014, but that, because I think it came out, because it, Gran Torino, what kind of, is a Ford? Ford's a Gran Torino. A Gran Torino is a Ford, right? Or am I nuts?
Gran Torino is an American film by Clint Eastwood. That's
the actual car itself. Because
yes.
I think whatever company released the car, Gran Torino, that's the car company.
So Ford did the Gran Torino, but the Chevys, the commercials were for Chrysler.
Oh, they were for Chrysler. Oh, yeah, because of, like, Chrysler plants were closing down and stuff, right?
Yeah, it was called Halftime in America.
Yeah.
It was a 2-minute montage.
And it was Clint, and then they did a parody of it on SNL with Bill Hader playing Clint Eastwood, and with each, because it was a series of commercials that they did, you know, with each one, Clint going, "We got to get things going in this country." But in the parody that they did on SNL, Bill Hader, who does a fantastic old Clint Eastwood, each commercial that they did, each subsequent commercial, his pants were hiked up even higher. So by the last commercial, they were like up to his neck, his pants. Is the waist of his pants, because Clint likes to have his pants hiked up a little bit, you know, especially nowadays. And that's the way it is in the Mule too. Every time I see Clint, like old guy Clint now with his pants hiked up, I'm like, that's Bill Hader, hilarious. All right, let's take a break. The news is coming up next. Commercials that cause controversy. If you want to jump in, talk or text at 312-981-7200. If somebody has their alarm set for now and they just heard that, they're like, oh my god, it's Monday, I slept 10 days.
And I'm late.
Oh, man. It's Wild Card Wednesday, everybody. Let me just make that clear. That was a request. 218 area code requested my dad's jokey theme.
My internal clock, the listener got me too, because I for a split second, I thought, wait, what?
No, that's exactly what it's exactly what I thought too when I heard it. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because it's basically around, what would he play, around 4:49 every Monday morning, and that's usually what, that's, I associate it with that time and that day.
And it's usually right before my 5 a.m. newscast, right, so I almost broke my neck looking at the clock, just a muscle memory.
That's hilarious. Well, somebody requested it on Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, including my dad's jokey time theme. I bet a lot of people who are regular listeners did go, what? What?
That was dirty.
Yeah. It was weird. I did the same thing. I was like, oh, what's going on? And I immediately looked at the because I have a screen here that shows me the lines, the phone lines and who's on them, so that I, you know, that Dan screens the phone number or screens the call, puts the name of the person on the thing. And I immediately looked over to see the normal line that my dad would be on. And it would, because Dan types up, you know, puts him on hold, and then types up your dad on the screen. And I was looking for that, and I didn't see it. And I was like, wait a minute, what the hell is happening right now? Did I just get out of Doc Brown's DeLorean? What is going on? That was weird. All right. Well, Wildcard Wednesday is weird. So, all right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about commercials that cause controversy based upon what's happening right now with all the talk and the controversy and the conversation about the Gillette ad that's been going around. So here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Back in the early 1970s, the Frito Bandito, they had to cancel that whole ad campaign because of complaints that it was, you know, making fun of Mexicans and calling them criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that that ad campaign. Absolutely, yeah. And it was base and insulting. It really was. So, yeah, Frito Bandito. That's not going to happen again. All right, John. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've got a few more of these controversial commercials here. ManCrunch.com's potato chip commercial. This commercial from ManCrunch.com, which is a dating website for gay men, was banned from airing at the 2011 Super Bowl. It shows two men's hands touching as they reach for chips. The men suddenly become locked in an intense kissing scene. Spokesperson for ManCrunch, Dominic Friesen, said the rejection of the ad was discrimination and that had a guy and a girl were kissing the way they have them kissing on it, there would have been no issue. How about this? Dodge's I Will commercial. People really didn't like this Dodge commercial that came out during the 2010 Super Bowl. In it, men monotonously repeat things they will do that day, like I will shave and I will clean the sink after I shave. And as USA Today put it, cries of misogyny ensued. E-Trade's Robbed by Your Bank commercial. E-Trade used scare tactics in its 2007 Super Bowl commercial, and it didn't sit well with people. The ad shows a normal day at a bank when suddenly the bank employees put on plastic animal masks and start robbing everyone. According to CBS, E-Trade was trying to get this message across: protect your assets by searching for the best banking deal possible. Do you remember that commercial?
I do remember that one.
Yeah. I remember that one, too. Yeah, I remember that one, too. I don't remember a lot of controversy surrounding it. I do remember. I mean, it was a pretty memorable commercial, I got to say. And E-Trade had the talking baby, right? Didn't they do the talking baby? Was that E-Trade?
I believe you're right.
Yeah, E-Trade had the talking baby, which were commercials. Those that was a set of commercials that I thought was pretty funny. How about 84 Lumber's "The Journey Begins" commercial? This 2017 Super Bowl commercial for 84 Lumber really stirred the pot. It showed the dramatization of a mother and daughter's perilous journey to the United States. The website erupted with comments about the use of immigration as a marketing tool. I remember that commercial. I totally remember that commercial. I don't remember people being, you know, outraged by it. Actually, I think if I remember correctly, that commercial was considered one of the better ones. Wasn't it considered one of the more memorable ones of that year?
I think that was one of the things that eventually created the controversy because so many people were praising it.
I see.
And then it created the backlash.
I see. Budweiser, Born the Hard Way commercial. This ad for Budweiser also used immigration as a tool to sell beer. Its plot sparked controversy among conservatives, including Sarah Palin, who tweeted, "Budweiser debuts Super Bowl ad and its politically charged message has America speechless." Representative of the company responded by saying that they were trying to tell the story of their heritage and the uncompromising commitment that goes into brewing their beer. Now, do you remember this one, Dan? I don't remember.
Yeah, so it shows him coming to America and all the problems he ran into. You know, the ferry he was on started to sink, and he got off the boat and guys spit on him and said, go back to your country, and you know, just all these problems that he ran into. And it ended with him going up to a bar to either sell what he had or buy a beer. Oh. And then, you know, he, you know, somebody says, oh, what are you doing? And it says, I'm Anheuser-Busch. And,
oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. That one doesn't really ring a bell for me. How about Bud Light's? Boy, Budweiser and Bud Light causing some stirs here in the past. Bud Light's skinny dipping commercial. Bud Light's 2007 beer commercial also faced a lot of controversy and ended up not being aired during the Super Bowl because of it. The ad shows a young couple who doesn't have bathing suits jump into nude into a pool. It's revealed that there is a window looking into the pool, and everyone can see the nude duo. So that didn't air during the Super Bowl. Did it air any other time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. How about Volkswagen's Get Happy commercial? When his colleagues say that they hate Mondays, their coworker tries to cheer them up by saying, no worries, man, in a Jamaican accent. This 2013 Super Bowl ad stirred a lot of controversy because people claimed it was racist. However, Jamaica's Minister of Tourism and Entertainment, Wycombe McNeil, praised it by urging people to tap into their inner Jamaican and get happy. Well, you can't argue that, then. If the Minister of Tourism for Jamaica thinks it's okay, then there you go. GoDaddy.com's wardrobe malfunction commercial. Yet another GoDaddy controversial commercial comes to the Super Bowl. This one was from 2005, and it shows a woman pleading for GoDaddy in a courtroom when she nearly loses her top because of a wardrobe malfunction. In 2013, the company turned over a new leaf. We've matured, we've evolved, CMO Barb Rechterman said in a statement. Our brand of Super Bowl commercials will make it crystal clear that we do... who we stand for. We may be changing our approach, but we've always said we don't care what the critics think. We're all about our customers. So if this was the 2005 Super Bowl, clearly that commercial was a reference in some way to the Janet Jackson thing, because that was the previous year. Because that's the wardrobe malfunction thing, the whole Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake thing. So they were clearly trying to reference that, or at least bring that back, because that was the year before. How about Dodge Rams farmer commercial? Heads were turning with Dodge Rams Super Bowl commercial in 2013. The Atlantic accused the ad of whitewashing, saying that it, quote, paints a portrait of the American agricultural workforce with a horribly skewed way. In Dodge's world, almost every farmer is a white Caucasian. Don't remember that one.
That was the one that had Paul Harvey's voice on it.
Oh, okay, then I do remember that one. Yeah. Yeah. All right, now, as soon as you say Paul Harvey, it's like... Doritos baby commercial. After seeing this commercial during the 2016 Super Bowl, people were tweeting that they'd never eat Doritos again. Why in the commercial a baby's prematurely born because he or she wants to eat Doritos? Isn't that where they're... they're at the ultrasound, right? Isn't it like... And the guy's got a bag of Doritos, and whenever he moves the bag of Doritos, the baby moves like crazy inside on the ultrasound?
Yeah, they're in the delivery room or something like that.
Yeah, but it was something like that it caused the baby to move and go nuts. I mean, that ran a lot. That was a commercial that ran a lot. Well, here we go. We'll end on this one. And if you guys want to jump in, we can wrap it up after the break with your thoughts and comments at 312-981-7200. Mountain Dew's puppy monkey baby commercial. Come on now. That commercial rules. I love that commercial. I love the puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Having not advertised during the Super Bowl for years, Mountain Dew had heads turn in a what the kind of way with this puppy monkey baby. Its oddness sparked a lot of conversation among people who were honestly just trying to figure out the correlation of this creature and Mountain Dew's new Kickstart, in the new Kickstart drink. Well, who cares? It's funny. I love the puppy monkey. Do you like the? No, you don't.
Dan. No, I do not.
No, nobody likes it except me. I'm like the only person. Of course, I like the sponge monkeys. Or rats, if you would prefer, from the Quiznos commercial. I like those. I like the Burger King. Have you seen the new Burger King commercial where he loses his marbles?
That makes me laugh every time.
Me too, man. It's hilarious. Puppy monkey baby. Man, don't be dissing on the puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby is adorable. And I don't even drink Mountain Dew. So, all right. It is a little creepy. I will admit it is a little creepy looking, but I like it. I think it's cool. And for those of you who have not seen the Burger King losing his marbles commercial, it is hilarious because it's like, what's he selling? He's selling like 10 nuggets for a dollar or something. Like he,
right.
Oh, man. All right. Controversy from commercials, 312-981-7200. We're also, again, going to talk about pizza coming up because it is National Pizza Week. So that's coming up as well. 312-981-7200. Let's take a break here for some weather. I guess I didn't realize how funky the bass line was for the Chips theme. Wildcard Wednesday, everybody. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, and 630 area code requesting the Chips theme song. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here till 5 o'clock. Coming up at 5, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and coming up at 6, Steve Cochran with your morning drive. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay. We've been talking about commercials that cause controversy. Because of this Gillette ad campaign that's been popping up and everybody's been talking about it. And we wanted to hear from you guys. What do you think? What are some of the controversial ads that you remember? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. You know, what was just on the screen, Dan, was that damn commercial, the skin commercial where the stuff like, those things just start coming out.
Yeah.
That commercial just completely creeps me out. Just completely, it's really creepy. And that's, you know, it's not a controversy causing commercial. It's just sort of like, just makes me feel a little ill while I'm watching it. And they seem to show it all the time overnight. So sometimes I'll look up at the screen and I'll see all that weird stuff coming out of the woman's legs and arms and stuff and the sweater with the weird, like, hair standing up on it. And weird. All right, let's see. We got some texts here. 312-981-7200. 301 area code says, I can't stand that commercial where the kid looks at his face and it's broken out into Skittles acne. Yeah, that's the Skittles pox. Is it contagious? I don't think so. That commercial's on all the time too. Of all the Skittles commercials, that one gets played the most, and it's the most annoying of all of them. 847 area code says, I think the Dove commercials that used women with real bodies was controversial for the wrong reasons. Everyone was gotten into an uproar because they used women with curves and imperfections. Yeah, that's the wrong reason to get upset about it. So. Yeah. This whole Geico ad campaign that they're doing now, this isn't controversial, but have they said when they're going to crown a winner?
I will see.
But the new commercial that they're doing where it's a fake commercial for the best of it's like a DVD of the best of Geico. It's not a real thing. Obviously, they're not selling a DVD with the best Geico commercials on it, but the commercial's hilarious with the very infomercially dated, sort of tacky looking couple. is telling you about how great the Geico commercial package is?
February 5th.
Oh, all right.
And I didn't catch this before on them, but you have a chance to appear in a Geico ad.
Yeah, that's one of the little perks if you're voting. I got to say, it's got to be Hump Day, right? I mean, that's got to be the one that's going to win, right?
I think so. I mean,
are they tracking who's ahead or anything? Is there a website where you can see like what commercial is in the lead?
So yes, okay. So your leaderboard.
Yeah.
I'll go from the bottom to top.
Okay.
Soap opera with 2%. Reality show at 3%. Collect Call at 5%. Possum at 5%. Gecko Interview at 6%. Spy, which is my second favorite one.
Which one is that?
That's the one where the mom calls the guy. Like, it follows a guy who's obviously in a spy-like situation. He's being chased by bad guys. There's a helicopter coming down.
He's oh, right.
He's fighting them off, and his mom calls.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Then next, in fourth place, is Caveman at the Airport.
That's a good one. That's a funny one.
The Squirrels is in third. Actually, they're tied for third.
The Squirrels high-fiving on the road?
Yeah.
After they caused the accident?
Right.
Okay.
In second place is Maxwell the Pig.
Yeah, I love that. I love that one. That's a great one.
Yep. And then finally, in a commanding lead, Hump Day.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, because that was quoted. What day is it? Come on, what day is it?
So, I know our guy Joe Romano actually uses that in Cochran's Wednesday opening every once in a while, as did Mike Jacobson.
It's classic. So that's the they announce on February 5th.
They announce on February 5th. They take it very seriously though, because you're only allowed to vote once every 24 hours.
Wow!
Because I voted in order to see the results.
Would you vote for Hump Day?
I did not. I voted for
you voted for the spy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there it is.